Amen. Did you enjoy that? Were you blessed? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. Who's here for the first time? Welcome. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for this wonderful evening, for the opportunity that we have to spend time in your presence, that we can experience your love, your power, your grace, the mighty hand of God at work and the river of life flowing amongst us. Lord, what an honor we have to praise you and glorify you. What an honor we have that we might call you our Father, and that you call us children of the Most High God. We put all of our hope and all of our faith in you tonight. This meeting, Lord, the purpose of this meeting is to glorify you, to exalt you, to praise you, to worship you, to adore you. Because, Lord, without you, what are we? Nothing. Where are we going? Nowhere. What can we accomplish? Nothing. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Thank you for the people that are here. I know that you're going to touch their lives in a wonderful way. I know, Lord, that there is healing and restoration, peace, joy, and love, deliverance and salvation that is waiting for them. And I thank you, Lord, that it will touch their hearts and touch their bodies, their minds, their souls, and their spirits. And I thank you, Lord, that lives tonight will be changed completely, radically, and totally. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we start, I just want to say that I put every devil, every demon, every spirit, every curse, every principality, every power, every ruler, all darkness, all witchcraft, all sorcery, anything that is not of God under my feet right now. You will not manifest here. You will not give me a hard time. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How many of you know that the devil is real? You know what? Somebody once said that the devil's best kept secret is telling people that he's not real. And that's true. When you listen to a lot of pastors, when you listen to the way a lot of churches speak, the devil is not an issue, he's not real, or he's been conquered yonks and yonks and yonks ago. But the fact of the matter is that that's a load of nonsense, because the Bible treats him as real. Jesus spoke to him as a real entity. I don't want to necessarily call him a person, because he is no person. He is just pure manifest evil, but he's real. And he has one purpose. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if he has the opportunity to do that, he's going to do that. Raise your hands if you have had demons cast out of you at these meetings. Let me see. Wow. Well, bless God. Apparently, the people that tell you that the devil is not real is smoking something. He is. But we have authority over him, and he has to be under our feet. Amen. Well, bless God. Bless God. I want to invite somebody to come forward. It will not be the first time that she's come to testify, and I trust it will not be the last time. Jenny, please come forward. I also just want to say that we have a book here. We are going to be closing these meetings in December. And in order for us to let you know when we're starting again, I need a contact detail for you. I need a cell phone number, please, because we will be sending an SMS. If you give me your house number, it's not going to help me. It must be a cell phone number. If you would like to receive the SMS, I'm not going to send you hundreds. I'm going to send you one or two just to let you know when we are starting again. Please, I need your details. And I need your name. I need your surname. And I need your cell phone number, please. Just send it along. Whoever needs to put it in, you are welcome. Jenny, welcome. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's nice. You had some really, really interesting testimonies to share with me.
Yes.
Yes. And I would love for you to share it with these people, because you know what? When God does something for somebody, he expects us to talk.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible says we will overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you want to know how to give the devil a bloody nose, saying, "I rebuke you, Satan," is like giving him a snort club. But testifying is like giving him a bloody nose. It's much more powerful. All right. So Jenny is going to have the opportunity tonight to give the devil a bloody nose. You like that, don't you? There we go.
Praise God. Hi, everybody. Well, I'm sure everybody here knows about my healing, my total makeover, from my back to my lungs to my legs to my asthma to my... Go all over. Wow. Okay. I had a bad fall. I injured my back. And eventually, at the end of the day, I had 6 compression fractures in my back. I slept in a lazy boy for 18 months. For 18 months, I could not sleep on a bed. I had asthma. I had hypertension. I had blood disorders, veins not working properly, diabetes. I said diabetes, all of that. Came to the meeting. I said to Rio, you know what was wrong? I said, I need a total makeover. And praise God, I got a total makeover. Amen. From head to toe. This morning, this afternoon after church, he tried to keep my dancing feet from going. My feet were paining. But praise God, they were fine when I came up the stairs. I'd just like to share another testimony. 2 weeks ago, we brought a couple with us that stays in the same complex with a little girl that had eczema so bad it looked like she had third-degree burns. Just the two little eyes would show at times. The parent, I brought her up for prayer, and eventually I was following Rian all over because the people that came with him, the daughter was writing matric exams and had to be home at 10 o'clock. And they came and said, just stand still. Rian will get to you when the time comes. He called the parents forward when he got to the little girl. And it came out that there was witchcraft in the family, Rian, if I can remember correctly. And the father also had eczema. They prayed for that. Rian prayed for that little girl 2 weeks ago. Up to just above the ankles. There's no sign of eczema. Yeah. That third degree vision has burned, is gone. No medicine helped. No creams helped. No cortisone helped. No steroids helped. Nothing helped for that little girl. Lord, amen. Our greatest healer did the work. And with them was another lady that has terrible arthritis. Up until 2 weeks ago, she was walking with crutches. She could only walk small little distances. After she was prayed for 2 weeks ago, she's still not on the crutches, and she can walk much further distances now. So God is working, and like Leon said, I cannot keep quiet. I've got to give God the praise wherever I can and whenever I can. And to God be all the glory.
Amen.
You just keep talking and talking and talking and talking.
Well, there you have it. Just keep talking and talking and talking. And we'll pray for your husband's ears next week. Yeah. Well, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
And you were sharing with me that the little girl with the eczema, the parents stopped giving her all medication. She's on no medication. And everything cleared up. Amen. Right. Well, you know what? God is good. Amen. Amen. God is very good. And is it your sister-in-law that is here? Yes. My dear, would you come forward, please? You have something amazing you would like to share. I know.
Yes. Okay, I was also at one of your meetings by Annie and Jenny's church. And my friend and I went up to you, said you can pray for us with a smoking problem. Because we tried so hard and we just couldn't stop. So you prayed for us, and, well, I thought I was done with, but I wasn't. I felt something was wrong with me, but I don't know what was wrong with me. And when I went to have some coffee, then, I don't know, God probably started working with me then. And everybody came and just helped. So since then, I have never, ever had a smoke. Yeah. And I don't even cry for one either. So thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Can I share with them what happened in the kitchen? Is that all right? All right, so she goes to the kitchen, And she's under the anointing. The power of the Holy Spirit is busy working with her. And there is a demon involved in smoking. If you smoke, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just being truthful. And the spirit's name is Bacchus, is Baal. And God made some fire under that demon's backside, and the thing started manifesting. And yeah, I never saw, you know what, there were people running out of that kitchen. I never saw them move that quick. There was at least three ladies. We didn't have to pray for their legs anymore because they came right by themselves. Like, but the demon came out, and you never had another craving. God is good, eh?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Yeah, I'm so blessed when we can start a meeting this way.
Amen.
I think you guys must come here every now and then. You must come and share testimonies. I like that. I like that. And I actually want to say something, Jenny. This is not to toot your horn or to give you a big head, but I actually feel in my heart that I want to say this. I have a lot of respect for you, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, we pray for a lot of people here, and we've seen some mind-blowing miracles take place here. But for a lot of people, it's like a very private thing, and they will not talk about what God has done for them, and I think that that's very wrong. You know, when God does something for you, He expects you to share. And I take my hat off to you because you actually do that. You are excited about God and what God is doing for you, and you want to share with people. And a lot of people, let's take the example of that little girl. You know what? A lot of people have this attitude, you know what? God is the healer and He can heal anywhere, anytime. It doesn't work that way. Forget about it. When Jesus walked the earth, it was the people that went to Jesus that got healed. The ones that didn't go there, even though the healer was walking amongst them, did not get healed. God sometimes expects you to be where the power of God is, where the anointing is. You know, a friend of mine was making a joke down there just now about the 10 virgins. And you all know the story. There was these virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they were waiting and waiting. And the bridegroom took a bit longer than everybody thought. Now, the bridegroom is God. And what that story is trying to tell us is God doesn't move when you want, He moves when He wants. And sometimes you have to wait. And if you get impatient or you get frustrated or you get irritated or you leave, you could miss it. And what happened was the 10 virgins, we call them the foolish virgins, they ran out of oil in their lamps. And then they wanted to borrow some oil, and the other one said, you know what, we can't give you some of our oil, because if we give you our oil, then we also run out, and we want to be here when the bridegroom comes. In other words, they were willing to wait, and they came prepared to wait, and they didn't care how long it was, they were going to receive whatever needed to be given. And when the foolish ones went home to go and get the oil, in other words, they weren't there when the bridegroom arrived, the doors opened without them, closed without them, and they missed out. Because they weren't there, they did not receive. It's the same with people when it comes to healing. Just because God is the healer doesn't always mean He's going to touch you in your house or touch you here or touch you there. I'm not saying that can never happen. But sometimes you get a place where there is a powerful anointing. Some ministers, some ministries just have a powerful healing anointing. And the chances of you being healed when you go there is much greater than when you just sit in your lounge and you say, oh Lord, heal me. Again, I don't want to say to you that God can't heal that way, but you can go and read the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us of people that just got healed because Jesus went into the town. The Bible tells us of the people that got healed when they went to where He was, and they got healed. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So if you're here tonight to receive healing, I believe you're in a good place. We know that the Lord operates here. We know that the Lord touches people, and God still heals today. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there are some churches that have this weird theology that, yes. Do you want to testify? All right, come chair.
Hi, good evening. I'm Claudio Vera and Alberto's son. This is the third time I've been here. I used to struggle with a very hardcore drug addiction, an 8-year drug addiction. Last 2 weeks in my life, I've been faced with tremendous difficulties, and and a few situations, and I came to understand something last week when I was actually here. God actually said to me, Claudio, don't you see that I've actually delivered you from your addiction? And I said, Lord, but how do you mean you've delivered me? And it actually struck me that for the first time in my life, my last relapse was about just over 2 months ago. But the first time in my life, I found myself being able to handle situations with a clear head, with a sober mind, and I just know that it's all thanks to God. And I just feel like a completely different person. So, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, bless God. Seeing as we started off speaking about healing, I'm not going to deviate. There was something else I was going to talk about, but we're going to put that on the shelf for next time. I want to read you the scripture. It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and from the region of across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. This is a small caption of the way Jesus lived his life. Jesus sometimes found it extremely difficult just to move around because crowds sometimes threatened to crush him. Now, why was there so many people around him? Let's just ask that question. Was it because of the sermons that he preached? What would you say? Maybe to a small extent, yes. But the people weren't following Jesus because of his good stories. They followed him because they had a need. And they knew from other people's testimonies. Did you hear that? When the people heard about him. What do you think people heard about Jesus? People like Jenny went out and spoke. I had this and this problem. This man laid hands on me. It's gone. I was blind. I can see. I had arthritis. It's gone. My asthma disappeared. My hard of hearing is sorted out. My ingrowing toenail just popped out, you know? What are you laughing at? Do you have a groaning toenail? It just popped. I'm not even going to ask what popped. Let's just leave that. Well, bless God anyway. All right. So here we have a day in the life of Jesus Christ. On this occasion, he was somewhere close to the water. And the people, in a sense, were actually making a nuisance of themselves because he couldn't function. And he asked the disciples to find a boat so that he could actually go into the water a bit so that the people couldn't get near him and crowd him and crush him. But why were the people there? The people were there because they found a man that could meet their need. Whether they needed healing physical, healing spiritual, healing emotional, whether they needed to be delivered of a spirit of addiction or a spirit of fear or a spirit of anger or a spirit of terror or confusion, whatever you want to call it, this man had something with him that was the complete antidote to what the people were experiencing. And I want to say something to you. It was people that brought people to Jesus. And still today, that is the way it works. It is people that bring people to Jesus. You have the opportunity to impact somebody's life if you are just willing to open your mouth and share your testimony. Everybody has some testimony to share. Not everybody's going to be healed of cancer, because by the grace of God, not everybody has it. Not everybody is going to be healed of arthritis, because we don't all have it. But you've got something that you can share, and when you go out and you talk, you sow a seed. And it's not your responsibility for that seed to grow. God is the one that makes it grow. But if you don't plant the seed, the opportunity cannot be given for it to grow. Jesus had hordes of people follow him because of what happened through him. Jesus claimed, Jesus made a statement once. I actually spoke about that the other day. The one day Jesus stood up and he took the scroll and he read from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to set the captives free." Listen to me very carefully. What Jesus said then, Jesus still does now. Amen. Jesus wants to bring healing, and Jesus wants to set the captives free. We live in a world where a lot of people are in bondage. Bondage simply means that you are stuck to something that you don't want to be stuck with. Some people are in bondage to fear. Some people are in bondage to nicotine. That lady shared with us that the Lord delivered her from the spirit of nicotine. Some people are in bondage to drug abuse. Some people are in bondage to pornography. Some people are in bondage to sickness, infirmity, things like that. Some people are in bondage to witchcraft. Jenny shared a testimony with us of a couple that came for prayer. I remember the night they brought this little girl to me to be prayed for. I think she's about 3 or 4 years old. She's 4 years old. She's tiny. And when they brought her to me for prayer, I actually said, "Where are the parents? Bring me the parents." So they brought the mother and they brought the father to me, and I explained to the mother and the father, I said to them, "You know what, from what I see, this looks to me like a spiritual problem. There could be something spiritual. If there is a curse upon the family, the child couldn't have done anything to bring the curse upon her, because she is just a child. She doesn't even understand the concept of sin and sinfulness. So if there is a problem, it's coming through either you or your bloodline. And I can't just take it off the child unless it comes off you, because right now it's coming through you onto the child." And when we prayed, I believe it was for the father, I can't remember, something manifested in him. Witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft manifested in the father. It came out of the father, and guess what? The daughter is healed. Amen. Why? Because two things had to happen. Let me teach you something. Some people will never get healed until they first get delivered. Every demon is a thief. The Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. One of the things that the thief wants to steal, is your health. One of the things he wants to destroy is your health. Now, taking into account John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus preaching, and he says the thief, which is Satan, but we can also classify demons as thieves, because they all work for the thief and they follow his characteristics. They want to steal. Jesus says the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, a thief cannot steal from you if he doesn't have access to what is precious to you. Do you agree with me? If you can lock up your house completely and no thief could get in there, then the thief is not an issue to you. It's still around, but it can't touch what's precious to you. The problem is if the thief gains entry to your house, then he will run away with your stereo. He will run away with your rings, your whatever you have, your silver, your precious things. You'll break open your safe and he'll disappear with your money. It's exactly the same when it comes to our lives. The thief wants access to our lives. And one of the things that he wants to steal and rob from us is our health. Now, just going with what Jesus said, the thief came to steal. Let's say that you wake up one morning and the TV is gone. Now you get all upset. Yeah, your children are going to cry for weeks because the TV is gone. You wake up one morning and the TV is gone. You get like all upset. You phone the police. They come out. They take a statement. The insurance pays out. You get a new TV. 2 weeks later, the TV is gone again. But this time the TV is gone. The decoder is gone. The hi-fi system is gone. Well, you get all upset. You phone the cops. They come out. They take a statement. The insurance pays out. 2 weeks later, now the TV is gone, the hi-fi is gone, the blender is gone, the mixer is gone, the microwave is gone, everything is gone. The stove. No. You were hiding that from your husband. I'm not stupid. But I'll pray for you for that later. It's all right. Can I tell you what the problem is? The thief is living in your house. You see, as long as he's living there, he'll keep stealing from you. You got to kick him out. It's an inside job, yeah. It's an inside job. Now, it's exactly the same when it comes to healing. Sometimes people want to be prayed for healing. But that thief, that demon, whatever the case might be, is still with them. Healing cannot take place because the thing keeps taking the healing. It takes the healing. Its job is to steal, and it will steal it. If you don't first deliver the person, they cannot be healed. It's impossible. That's why a lot of people that get prayed for healing never get healed, because they first need to be delivered from the curse that causes the problem. If they cannot be delivered from the curse, they cannot get healed. Which is why Jesus spent a lot of time delivering people from evil spirits. Because deliverance and healing go hand in hand. Let me show you what the scripture says. Listen to it. Jesus withdrew with all his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan. Let's stop right there. When they heard all he was doing. That tells us, why were the people around Jesus? Because of what he did. What did Jesus do? He did miracles. What did Jesus do? He did wonders. What did Jesus do? What? He delivered people. What did Jesus do? He healed people. What did Jesus do?
Spread the word.
He spread the word. I thought he was going to tell me, now I'm panicking because they've said everything. You know, I just have to say this. When I was young, I didn't have a lot of boldness to speak. You know, just the fact that I can speak in front of all of you, that's God did a miracle in my life. Because when I was young, I couldn't do that. And I'll never forget the church that I used to attend, the Sunday school that I used to attend. We would normally sit like in a circle, and then now and then the Sunday school teacher would have this bright idea that everybody must say a short prayer, you know, for us to go home. And you know, I used to really hate those days, because now I'm going to have to pray. You know, sometimes they would just point and say, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? And of course, when it comes time for them to point, I get very small in my chairs. Like, I'm not here, you know. And then they would come up with this bright idea, like everybody's going to say a short prayer. Then I'm sitting there like panic stations. What am I going to pray? Then I'm like, I'm thinking very hard. Okay, I'll pray that. And then, of course, the schmuck next to me prays what I was going to pray. It's like, this can't be happening to me, you know? Like, what am I going to do now? Yeah. And that always used to happen to me. Did it ever happen to you? I'm telling you. And then they don't understand why I've got this like daggers in my eyes. Not sitting next to you again. Anyway, all right. So when they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from all over. And then let's look at this. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever evil spirits saw him, why did the people come? They came for healing. But what happened with a lot of them when they came close to him? Evil spirits manifested in him. Listen to this. They came for healing. They ended up popping, which is just a way of describing. They came for healing, and the next moment something started screaming out of them. What was their problem? The manifestation of the problem was sickness and infirmity, but the root of the problem was demonic. Do you understand? If Jesus did not deliver them from the demon, then praying for them for healing would have done nothing, because the problem is still a demon. And if you can't get the demon out, you pray for healing today, the demon is still there. He'll bring the same disease back. He'll keep bringing it back over and over. And it looks like the person never gets healed. They didn't get healed. They needed to be delivered. Okay. All right. Whenever evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and they cried out, "You are the Son of God." I want you to understand something. Demons know and recognize the power of God. And that's why you, whenever you need to, when you get prayer, you better be prayed for by somebody or a church that has the power of God. Because Satan cannot be fooled. When the power of God is present, he will submit. When the power of God is not present, he will go nowhere. The people that got healed when they went to Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because with Jesus was the anointing and the power to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted. Now, is Jesus in the house tonight?
Yes!
I like that. Is Jesus in the house tonight?
Yes!
Oh, yes. There's a couple of demons that just went and they ran. Yeah. No, it wasn't you. All right. I know we've got some visitors here, so let me just help you to understand. Sometimes when demons leave people, they go. Now, a lot of you are thinking, oh, you're not praying for me tonight. Well, you know what? If that's how they leave, then that's how they leave. What must I do? Now you know why I stand in front of people when I pray for them. And I ask God for danger pay for the people that help me and stand behind. And you thought it was glamorous praying for people. Yeah. The lighter side of ministry. Anyway. But it's good. It's all good. Praise God. Amen. No, it wasn't you. We delivered you from that last week. It's okay. All right. Let me take you to another scripture. Psalm 103. I read from verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, just listen to that. The Bible tells us that when we choose to give our lives to God, when we live a life worthy of praising God, then certain benefits become available to us. You know what? At the risk of upsetting you, I want to say to you, this almost sounds a bit like one of those ads where it's like, you're going to get this and this, but wait, there's more, you know? Now, the Bible also says to us, listen, yeah, serving God, yes, it's good to say that you're a Christian, but wait, there's more. And then he says to us, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, that's a great benefit, do you agree with me? And heals all your diseases. Wow, that's a wonderful benefit. Who redeems your life from the pit? Amen. Do you know what? There's a lot of people stuck in the pit. And I want you to take some stock of your life. If you've been stuck for a couple of years, like 2, 3, 4, 20, 30 years, and your life has gone nowhere, probably you are in a pit right now. And you need to be redeemed from the pit. Well, then you're in a good place because God can pick you up. Amen. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love. And compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagle. Wow. Did you hear what they just said? I'm going to read this to you again. And forget not all of his benefits. Listen to these benefits. Number one, he'll forgive your sins. In other words, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you are guilty of murder, of rape, of molestation, of theft, of bribery, of corruption, of all sorts of heinous evil. I don't care if you sold your soul to the devil. The Word of God says the first benefit that will touch your life is the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, what God does when you come to Him, He takes your past and He crumples it up and He throws it away. The Bible says when you confess something to God, it's like taking it and throwing it into the deepest part of the sea and it'll never be found again. We remember things, the devil reminds us of things, but God doesn't go there again. Do you understand? All right. The second thing is He heals all your diseases. So what is one of the benefits of being a child of God? Look at your neighbor and say, healing. And restoration. If you need healing, I have good news for you. It's one of the benefits of salvation. Amen. All right, then, who redeems your life from the pit? In other words, I explain it to you, people that are stuck. Sometimes the pit can be called the pit of despair. We're stuck, or the pit of depression. Despondency, dejection, hopelessness, unworthiness. You know, all of these things tend to suck people in. Heaviness, gloominess. Sometimes we lost a loved one. You know, many of the times we have to pray for people here, they lost a loved one, and since that loved one passed away, they just can't go on with their life. It's like the pit of despair sucked them in, and they are stuck. And that's a spiritual thing. And people need to be delivered from that. They need to be set free. But there's another key thing. You must choose to let it go. I want you to understand something. We can pray for you till we blue in the face. If you don't make the choice to move forward, nothing is going to happen because God won't force you. God will help you if you want to help yourself. If you don't want help, there's nothing we can do for you. And then He says, who redeems your life from the pit and who crowns you with love and compassion. One of the benefits that we have when we become a child of God is we have access to the love of God. Now, I want to take you to something. Who of you can remember the first time you fell in love? Just wave at me. For some of you, that's long ago, but I'm sure you still remember. Give me some of the feelings and the emotions that went with that love. Craziness. Butterflies. Are you feeling any butterflies right now? I'm just checking. Okay. Craziness, butterflies. Excitement. Anticipation. Sleeplessness. Zeal, enthusiasm, can't wait for the next day, feeling high all the time, feeling like you're on some drug. Okay, the Bible says, because we become children of God, God's love will touch us. That which you felt is the human side of love. And look at what it did for you. How much more will the love of God do for you when it touches you? And it's available to you every single day. Amen. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Is there anybody in this place that needs some good things?
Oh, yes.
Hello? Just wave at me. Here's a promise. When we become children of God, one of the benefits that becomes available to us is that God becomes our provider.
Amen.
And God wants to provide us with good things. Not broken down things. Old things, new, good things. Yeah, man, yeah, give the Lord a big hand. I can preach a lot about a lot of these things, but the one that I want to stand still by is and heals all your diseases. My friend, God is the healer. There's a lot of things in this world that a pillicky can't cure. You know, you can take a Panado for some stuff, and for other stuff, it's just going to do nothing. There are many things in this world that medical science cannot cure. They can do nothing about it. But God is the healer. And I don't believe that there is any healing possible without the finger of God touching. Jesus made a statement and He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Sometimes a person needs the finger of God to touch there. And if the finger of God doesn't touch there, nothing will change. God knows what's wrong in us and God knows how to put it right. And God has supernatural ways of doing it. Amen. Jenny shared with us, I'm just remembering a bit of what you say. You said that when you came to us that night, you had 4 compression fractures. Was that right? 6 compression fractures in your in your back. That sounds back and neck. In other words, you couldn't walk, could you? No. And you were all bent over. I remember that. And you were in a lot of pain. And I remember that night when I put my hands on her, it looked like she received electrical shocks. Her whole body started just jolting. But what did you feel inside of you? You can't even describe it. All right. Something unreal. Now, here's what where I want to go. How long did it take before you could get up and run? You opened your eyes and the next moment, we haven't been able to keep her quiet since then. Yeah. You received an operation. Because let's face it, she had to be operated for everything to be healed and whatever. But her operation did not take place in a hospital room somewhere. It happened on God's operating theater. And it was done supernaturally.
Amen.
Amen. Because the finger of God did it.
Amen.
And I want to say something to you. If the finger of God did it for her, why can't He do it for you?
Yeah.
I know He can. God is still the healer.
Amen.
There's a couple of things that we need if we want healing. Number one, we need faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that there were places where Jesus could perform no miracles because the people did not believe. They had no faith. If you don't have faith, don't expect God to do anything. You know, sometimes we pray for people and their attitude is like, oh, well, if something happens, it does. If it doesn't, whatever, you know. Go home. You're wasting your time and you're wasting my time. I don't mean to offend you. That's just the way it is. If you can't come with faith, you shouldn't come at all. You must have faith in God. And if you feel right now that your level of faith is not there, then read what the Bible says about healing and your faith will grow. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God. The more time you spend in the Word, like if you spend a couple of days just reading the miracles Jesus did, suddenly you have faith. It's like, wow, I believe this can happen to me. And sometimes that's what people have to do. Because maybe we come from a background where people told us, oh, but these things can't happen. Then of course you have no faith because you believe that it's impossible. Then you should get yourself to the place that you start believing that it is possible. Unbelief is a barrier to the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that is probably needed is a willingness to allow the wind to blow where he wants to. John chapter 3 verse 8, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from and you don't know where he is going. So it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to take Jenny because she's here and she can testify that I'm not lying. When she got healed that night, when I touched her, her body flew backwards. She fell on the floor and it looked like she was receiving electrical shocks. Am I lying? No, I'm not. Now, Jenny could have come and said, you know what, Rion, I want prayer, but I want it to be quiet. I want it to be peaceful. I don't want any funny things happening to me. I want to remain seated in my chair. She could have given God a whole long list. Can I tell you what would have happened? Nothing. Because the wind must blow where he wants to, not where you tell him to. That's another mistake that a lot of people make. They want to come and give God their demands. When you come to God, you receive what he gives. You don't tell him what to do. The more you tell him what to do, the less he's going to do for you. The thing is, you got the problem and you can't sort the problem yourself. Therefore, you must put your faith in him. And sometimes, in fact, often, God does supernatural things. Yes. Some people start screaming. Yes, some people start shaking. Yes, some people vomit. Oh, you tell me I'm going to vomit. No, I can't do that. Why not? If that's the way God wants to heal you, if that's the way the poison that is causing your sickness needs to leave your system, what's the problem? If you went to the hospital and you vomited there, you wouldn't have had a problem with it. Now, God must operate on you, but it mustn't come out. Of course it must. You know, when people walk around with a lot of bitterness, it brings a poison into you. That poison must come out. A lot of the times when you pray for people and the poison starts coming out, it comes out by vomiting. If you keep it in, you're keeping the poison in. You will stay sick. You will never get better. So what I'm trying to say is you must yield to the Spirit. You know a tree, when the wind blows, it goes in the direction of the wind. Why? God created a tree that way because if the wind resists, if the tree resists the wind, it'll break. We are no different. If you resist the Holy Spirit, if you want to stand while the Spirit of God wants to push you this way or that way, something inside of you will break. That's just my way of saying nothing is going to happen. But if the wind pushes that way and you say it's fine, or that way and you say it's fine, you're going to receive the benefit. And I already read you the benefits. Amen.
Amen.
Now here's what I'm going to do now. We just spoke about some amazing things. We heard some amazing testimonies. I know the Holy Spirit is here because I can feel it. And I believe that God wants to do something here tonight, and it's got to do with healing. The whole theme tonight is surrounded by healing. I'm going to play two songs. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and let these two songs minister to you. And then we're going to just see where God wants to take us from here. Amen? Just give me a second.